Welcome to the 200% Life Podcast with Adam Hergenrother and Caitlin Frotlin, where we bring you weekly insights into spiritual growth and business success. Hey, everybody. The following bonus episode was taken from a Project U coaching session. In it, I discussed how there is no easy button in growth, how subtle thoughts are the sneakiest, what staying in witness consciousness really means, and how we are supposed to face adversity as humans. Remember, it's not supposed to be easy. I hope you find as much value in this conversation as our Project U participants did.
You know, one of the things that's interesting is like I think a lot of people refer to as like masters or guru, these are individuals who are at any moment can basically fall back into whatever we would refer to as enlightenment. They're so far beyond. There's a lot of people that are running around that are just like you and me that are like doing this inner work, doing a lot of really amazing things, but man, we're still right in the midst of it, right? And I would even consider like people like Michael Singer in that category, like, you know, just as an example of like, even like an Eckhart Tolle of like, these guys are doing deep work and they're spreading that message out there, but they're not in the same level as these masters that have come before us, you know, four or five, a handful of people over the last couple hundred thousand years that have been there that can do that. You know, those are at that completely different level. I say that because we should all take that as we go through life. We're going to have moments that, you know, that feel like, again, for whatever reason, we could the fact that we just removed a lot of different stuff and you worked through it, or you could that somehow something's going the way you want it to and you feel this upliftment and it's great and it's there. But inevitably, in my experience, and Jim, I know this is for everybody else too as well, is like you come back and there's something else that jumps up and just disturbs you, right? And it just does. It can be something that used to disturb you before. It can be something bigger. It can be a new thing that jumps up in there. And it just shows up. And so like, it's in those moments that you kind of look at it and you're going, man, I thought I was somewhere, right? We did a whole podcast, like I've got it. Now it's gone. Is it gone forever? And the reality is it's not. That's just your next iteration of work. It's like the easiest way to think about this, of course, when you're talking about it, it's easy to do it. But when you're feeling the disturbance, you're like, this doesn't feel like it's getting easy. This feels way harder. And this is really annoying and disturbing. And like, I'm pissed off all the time. What is going on here? Is like, if you get really good at math, right? And somebody gives you a 2 + 2 equation, you're going to solve that all day long. And then they go, oh, you know, no, not 2 + 2 anymore, Jim. It's what's 11 + 11. And you go, I got this one too. It's 22, right? Like you start to like, I've got these things down. Then now somebody says, okay, well, what's the derivative of 166 squared, right? Like, and you're going, I have no idea. It's just your next level of schooling. And so remember all the work that we've talked about and done. The karma is that life is karma in itself. There's always going to be education for us while we're here. It's why thousands of years ago, they wrote and said, you know, you're back to chopping wood and carrying water, because that's the whole point of what that metaphor and example is that while you're here, unless you're one of the very few, again, handful of people that find themselves in these absolute states of consciousness that will, we're all going to be chopping wood and carrying water at times. You know, I was on a little mini break last week, even though I ended up working most of it. I came down and like, this is a personal story. One of my friends listens to our podcast. He kind of watches this stuff. And I came up in line and there was some long, and I just made an asshole comment, right? Like it was, I don't know what else to say it. It was just, and he's, then I was like, you know what? I'm like, I apologize. It wasn't right. And like later on, he's like, you know, made me feel really good that somebody like you, who is mostly calm on everything and can handle a lot of these things, you're talking about it, also like gets angry at times. And we got in this huge conversation about it, because I was like, yeah, I realized I was doing it at the time, but I was like, I have just as much work to do as everybody else does. It's just, we're all doing that. That's part of life, is always going to be there as this journey to just continue to remove blockages, to do the personal work. There's just never going to be a moment, again, unless somebody on this screen becomes one of those individuals that most of those people, by the way, were at birth like that, by the way, or some closeness to it when they refer to those masters who came in here with just, they remember being in the womb. Like, I don't think anybody in this call remembers that, right? Like, so like, these are deep, deep individuals who not only have done deep work, have also, for whatever reason, came here with an incredible amount of enlightenment from either previous times or whatever it is. But then there's just a bunch of people, again, that are all doing wonderful things, but they're far from it. And you hear it from other people that are out there speaking that we would consider some of our spiritual teachers of the times, like an Eckhart Tolle. He's like, you know, I hear from spiritual writers, and like they're like, while they're writing, they're in a full state of enlightenment. And he's like, they're great, they do it, but then they get out of that and they're in their family and they can't handle it. And so he's like, that while they're writing, everything they're writing is true, but then there's this whole new situation and they can't handle it. So again, long-winded says, you have to always remind all of ourselves that it's back to wood, carrying wood and chopping water. There's always going to be work for us to do. Buying into the fact that we are somewhere is buying into a thought. And we have to always remember that. I remind myself of that constantly. Anytime I go, oh, look at all this feeling that you're getting. See, you're getting somewhere. I go, that's a thought. If I buy into that I'm somewhere, I'm now living mind again. That's what, when we talk about shape-shifting, that's what the shapeshifter does. It's literally that sneaky. And it going, of course I'm a spiritual guide, guru, whatever you want to call it to is, look how good I'm feeling right now. And you won't even say that, but you'll go, I feel great all the time. I feel great all the time. Everyone should probably do what I'm doing. Like, I feel great all the time, right? That's a thought that we buy into. You won't say it blatantly, because if you say it blatantly or you pay attention to it, then you'll go, that's a thought. It's the sneaky ones where you don't even realize it's a thought that comes in the back door and grabs you. That's what you have to pay attention to. And so this is why it's always starting with the relax and release and just understanding that there's always going to be a job to do here. And no matter what it is. And again, there are moments that could just be like, wow, this is really, really, really intense. Again, for big things, for small things, some things that used to bother you no longer do. But again, it's also, you're going to be tested more than you ever have. There is no easy button for this. You know, I'm actually going to do this presentation tomorrow about emotional fitness. And the first slide is an easy button, because everyone right now in general wants there to be an easy button. And I'm referring to personal growth or spiritual growth here, but it's also in business right now. There is no easy button. There is no easy button. There is no secret sauce, by the way. There is nothing that somebody's going to be able to hit that all of a sudden goes, this is going to be great. It's going to be easy for me to do this. There is nothing like that. And part of like when I was doing this presentation, I was thinking about this. The gap, by the way, between how easy it was in most businesses, not just real estate, over the last couple of years, to the gap of how hard it is in most businesses is wider than it's ever been in history. Because if you go for in real estate, right, you sell 6.3 million homes, and you bring it down to 3.8 million homes in an 18-month period. The fact of how easy it was to how hard it was is such a wide gap. That's what people are struggling with. If you just move it down a little bit, people go, I can handle that gap, right? I can handle this gap. But when it wakes up and it's this wide, right? People's like, it seems insurmountable. And so it's just like, there is no easy button for any of this. And there is no easy button on our personal growth and our journeys, because they're tied together. Again, they're separate, but the things that we get to experience outward are going to show us where our learning episodes are inwardly. Whether it's a relationship with a friend or a family member, an issue with your spouse, an issue with business, finances, money. I mean, I'll tell you, money is still something that will trigger me more than anything. It is, and I've always shared that with you guys. Like, it's the one thing I can have plenty of it and it can still be something in there and it still bothers me. And I know that's still something I'm working through. It's just, and it can be money. It can be, it's other things that would bother other people don't bother me. If I see wasteful spending or wasteful money, it bothers me. And naturally I can see people going, well, you've got money. And I go, that has nothing to do with it. It feels like people are robbing. I'm telling you, it's not true. I'm just telling you that's what it feels like, right? It's just, and again, for me, it happens to be money, which is also why I made it the forefront of my beginning part of my life, was so that I never had to actually face it. And then once you actually have enough money, then like you realize it doesn't go away unless you do the inner work. Actually wrote today to somebody, it's like, if you don't remove the bush itself and you just keep spray painting a plant, it's not going to get any better. And that's really what it is here. It's like we all have to, this is kind of how I see like personal growth, right? It's like in the beginning, you start to remove the leaves. And so the leaves don't bother you and they don't tickle you for a little while, right? And Michael Singer talks about it as being a thorn. I just like, in my mind, I always picture like a leaf bush, and you start removing, and the leaf bush has 30 leaves on it. If you start removing leaves that used to touch you, they don't hit you anymore. But guess what? As you get closer towards the center, there's more leaves that just start hitting you more and more. And by the way, they get bigger and thornier or more aggressive the closer you get to the center of the root. And it's the same thing of how you are working with your inner life. You start removing these easier things, and yeah, you're not bothered by them anymore. Like, this is great. It's going to be fine. you instantly find yourself buried in a bunch of leaves again. And those things are even thornier and they hurt even more. And so from there, it just goes to one thing to the next, and then the closer you get to the epic center of these things, the deeper and harder they feel. So there is never going to be, it's like people in here have, you know, ran for, you know, marathon or a half marathon or a 5K, right? It's like when you're training for one of those races, does the actual running get easier or do you just get faster in your running? Right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at least I learned this a lot when I was doing Ironmans, is that the same threshold of pain that I would have was the same threshold of pain I always kept. I just got faster. I always kept thinking, I want this to be easier. Now, there are days that it felt easier. There are days that it felt harder. I'm saying in general, though, it's not like I just because then you just go to walking. It's not like I gave up on the amount of pain that I was willing to have. I just literally would just increase the speed. That's all you're doing here. You're used to allowing a certain amount of pain that you can handle. And so you keep digging deeper into the root. And guess what you're going to uncover? More pain, more things that you could, that you've stored for not this only this lifetime, but many. And they start showing up and you're going, I really opened Pandora's box now. This is what, again, when Oprah, like for like every day in a row, Oprah was like literally getting on her show and being like, I've had enough personal growth. I've had enough personal growth. No more personal growth for today. That's what she's referring to, is when you start opening these things up, it's going to come. And just like all of you have started opening these things with smaller things, you start to handle the smaller things. Again, you handle 2 + 2. You handle 11 plus 11. You handle 12 times 12. It's the same thing in business. You handle an easier situation. Then you handle a tougher situation. And then, you know, as your business gets bigger, the complexities get so much more harder and more difficult. And decisions become much more fragile. Everything is. So we're never done. So the minute we always think we're like, oh, this is a great, just enjoy the phase that you're in. So right now, if you're in a phase where it's very challenging again, for any of us, right? Me included, any of us, you just enjoy that phase. If you're in a phase where it's very, wow, you're just feeling great for anything, enjoy that phase. There's nothing wrong with allowing the outer world to open you up. There's nothing wrong with it trying to close you. I said trying to close you. That's tough times. It's just, if it's happening, it's happening. You can't deny it. So we just allow it to come in and we allow ourselves to do as much work as we can there. But there is no easy button. There's no secret sauce. The gap is wide. When you couple this with, again, and then your mind, just be very careful. The mind will jump in and tell you how wrong all of this is. And that creates the lack of energy that's flowing, which is why you have that pit in your stomach sometimes or whatever that is that shows up there. You know what I've been doing? Whenever that shows up for me, I've been stopping and going, where is this coming from? It's just a good little way of doing it. Like, where is this lack of energy? Where is this blockage actually coming from? And I stopped thinking about the actual event that my mind's trying to tell me that's terrible. And because what my mind will do, I don't know about yours, is like, it'll like get into a terrible situation. Then it'll like, oh, it doesn't matter. They're like, you're fine. Like, you know, like try to cover up the issue. And I'm like, that's not right either. I actually want to go deeper than that, below the thought, and go, where is this energy blocked? And just, you can't answer it with your mind, by the way. You have to experience it. So that's the next kind of phase that you can bring into, is when it starts to be disturbed. You can relax and release if that's what you need to do. But if you're able to sit there in the disturbance, one thing you can do deeper is like, this is extremely uncomfortable. This emotion sucks. I don't like feeling this. You can allow it to say all, the mind again is going to say all this stuff. You don't fight with it. You just go, where is this lack of energy coming from? And it's almost like you go underneath the root petals and you start to see where it's from. And it doesn't mean that it goes away instantly. It just gives you a greater clarity on what is the process of actually happening here and why there's a lack of it in the first place. And so that can be a method that you can do. If it gets really tight, again, you can always go back to a mantra. I can handle this. I can handle this. I can handle this. I think movement's good. And just like there's cycles in business, there's going to be cycles in your personal professional growth too. There's going to be moments that feel really good. And there's going to be moments that are just really challenging. And there's going to be moments that happen that don't bother you. And you've done that work. But then there's going to be something that can be even smaller than the event that just bothered you on a different topic. And it sends you through a whole disturbance. It just does, for no other reason, but it can. And the funny thing is like none of us like want that to happen. Nobody wants to be walking around miserable or frustrated or angry with people. It's just they can't stop it. And now they're so caught in it. I heard this wonderful analogy the other day, which we've heard before, but the way it was said was I enjoyed the way it was referenced. We all know like the sun as an example of like light or consciousness or all of energy, right? The sun itself is everywhere. As you can see it baking on anything. But if we took all these little, if we took 8 billion microscopes and held it all up in there, and we took that level of power and put it in there, what would we all see? And instead of seeing our world, right, we would just see small little dots that have energy to basically burn things because you've harnessed it differently. Magnifying glasses, not a microscope, magnifying glasses. We're all walking around with 8 billion magnifying glasses. And that's what we do, by the way, when we're referring and thinking about our thoughts. What you're doing is you're taking the energy from the sun and harnessing it into a single location that creates a tremendous power. Well, you're right. It does. When we take the consciousness or the energy that's there, and we, and this is what I'm saying, you'll find out when you go deeper into where it's blocking. When you do this, you take and you harness your own energy, the same energy from the sun. It's like you took a magnifying glass and you're putting it on your thoughts, and it causes damage. Because now it's all of your thoughts are electrified with power. All of them. Way more power than just, again, the sun's not going to burn anybody if there's not a magnifying glass. The minute you put a magnifying glass, it'll cut through cement. The same thing, your thoughts are never going to bother you until you put the power of yourself behind the thought, and then it's going to burn you. Then it's going to scar you. Then you're, and what I mean by that is then that's when you're going to act from the thoughts. That's when you're going to get frustrated. That's when you're going to beat up the thought. That's when you're going to go get a divorce. You're going to quit something. You're going to, you know, yell at your kids. You're going to, you know, want revenge on somebody. I don't know. That's right. It's all these different things that show up. But think of it from that analogy as the sun is shining on everything. It's, you have a magnifying glass. It's going to damage things. Your thoughts are going to be there, but your energy does not have to be boggled down with your thoughts. You know, they used to refer to, have you ever heard of like a rikti before? Like it's like a vibration of energy, is they used to use it in Sanskrit terms. And basically the original Upanishads talk about how a non-rikti mind, I think that's how you say it, rikti mind is a purified mind, is the same state as enlightenment. What they're basically saying, and this was written thousands of years ago, what they're saying is a mind that's not littered with thoughts is a purified, enlightened mind. Because the mind, you know, and again, we at whatever level we want to talk about this, you can have somebody getting into this saying the thoughts are bothering me. Yes. And we're just now at a level where the thoughts can go there. Just stop paying attention to them. And then the question I always ask myself is like, well, how do I stop paying attention to them? Right. And that leads to the process of, okay, they're there. I recognize they're there. Where do they come from? It just, that helps me get out there, gain perspective. It's all of these things that we can apply. There's not one that's right. It's just whatever the situation is there, that's that you have to work through. You may need to go run. You may need to meditate. You may need to journal. I've been doing a lot of journaling recently, a lot longer than I normally do. I journaled for 90 minutes the other day, just really trying to get clear and bring some things out. And this is somebody that journals every day for half an hour. And so this was just really trying to just pinpoint clarity for things. And again, I think you'll find it if you ask deeper questions and let the unconscious mind show up. If you ask the conscious mind, what do I should do or how should I handle the situation? I think that's based on experiences. If you ask it in a different way and let it sit and don't try to answer it, the inspiration shows up in a different way. And there's signs there. I'm going to do a podcast on this, but there's a character lab. An email that came out about the research that shows this. And basically, if you're having a clarity issue or going through a tough issue, you're trying to work through it. If you ask the conscious mind and then answer it immediately, a lot of times that's not the answer. And really what it looks at is like, if you ask and try not to answer with your personal mind and let to see what shows up, or I'm not saying weeks, I'm saying what shows up over the next day, shows up in the next, you know, hour or two. And there'll be something that kind of shows up, and then it'll be more of a form of inspiration. And you all know what the difference is, right? There's the inspiration that comes in and like viscerally touches you versus the personal mind making a recommendation. Remember too, there's, again, if something outside that you're doing, like celebrating a victory for your goals or pendings, opens you up, you should let it open you up and just be like, and just recognize it. Like, wow, this event really opened me up. If you have an event with your kids that was really special, be like, wow, that really opened me up. The difference, and part of that acknowledging that is that you don't store it. Remember, that's the key part, is you can store stuff that you really like and want more of that, versus just going, wow, that really opened me up. And it's almost like saying it as a way of, you're reminding yourself, that was a great moment. I'm no longer in the moment anymore. That's past. Like, and I can bring it up as a memory, but I'm not going to try to relive this. Like, that should be reliving every day of my life. Why isn't the next moment not opening me up? And then you realize you're caught in your mind. That's why the next moment's not opening you up. And what you come to realize is that the moment opened you up, even if it was 30 seconds, it opened you up because there was no thought. Sure, the event itself opened up, but what actually happens during that process? Just pay attention next time, because you won't, the minute it opens it up, the mind stops. It's almost like it suspends itself for a second. So there is no chatter. And instantaneously, just like you get an email or a call, and instantaneously it can be disturbed, it can block your energy off. In that moment, it opens you up, and all of a sudden you feel this uplifting of energy, and there is no thoughts actually in there. You're just actually laughing with your kids, or you're just celebrating and high-fiving with your team. There is nothing there. And it's then only when the moment starts to fade, the mind jumps back in and goes, oh, this moment's amazing. Isn't this awesome, Ed? Right? Like, it just, that's what it starts to do. Then you're back on listening to the mind. When you get what you want, you actually do feel what you should feel in almost every moment, right? Which would be, that's how you can walk around feeling. And that's because you're literally, you're not allowing your mind to take a magnifying glass of who you are and put it on itself. But that's what happens when you get what you want from outside. You win the lottery, you forget about the lottery, right? You just have you put a pending, right? Right now, everyone's celebrating one pending, right? Like, you just put a pending up there and you're like the happiest person that's out there, and it just works and it runs, and you're going, oh man, this feels great. And just, if you start, what I want you to do is remember this. And then just, once you realize that you're back into thought, pause for a second and go, you know what? I really felt that. I wasn't in thought there. I actually didn't feel any of that. I was just there. And that's present moment. Most people are still present thought, thinking they're in present moment. You're going, oh, because you're, what you're doing, and it's better, but you're going, I'm in the present moment. I'm in the present moment right now. I'm in the present moment. Damn it, I'm in the present moment, right? And you're saying that to yourself as a way, because you've been taught and you want to be in the present moment. But that's still a same thought as somebody saying, it's better, by the way. It's a positive thought. But you're only doing that because it's not positive in there. So even by saying I'm in the moment is still mind-generated, you generating the thought, which is better than the other way around. Again, it's a hierarchy, so it's better to say that. But it's still you in the thought, because the thought, you're now just a better thought. If that makes sense. Again, you should all do it. I do it every day, right? It's something we all do, but just to understand the process of what we're doing there is we're still using thought as a way to feel better. You know, the best advice that I can give you, you know, take it for what it is just you explore your own inner state as much as possible. That's all I do. And when I jot down things and write ideas for podcasts or teach to you guys, I don't consider myself anywhere as doing anything. I'm just watching this entire process go on sincerely and then willing to share it. It's all that. I just watch it happen inside. So I get angry. I get frustrated. Something doesn't go my way. I get lost for a second. I come back and I just try to watch the process unfolding of where that happened. How'd that come in there? And you start to put these clues together of what's actually happening. And you can see it that every time you're caught in this, and then it gives you a little bit more awareness. But this is why, if you look at, I love looking at spiritual teachers, again, our generation teachers or people way back in the day, you read their earlier books or writings, they're different, of course, from the ones that they wrote when they were later on. And it's only because they've grown through that phase, just like we all have. I mean, imagine reading what you would write as a teenager versus reading what you would write now. It's different. So that's the whole, just watch it unfold. Watch the process do its dance. Because what you're doing is you're now removed yourself from the process of thought itself. The minute you're able to stay seated and watch it, you're actually in witness consciousness. Most people think they're in witness consciousness, but what they are is they're in mind conscious, meaning I'm controlling what the mind is saying only by me saying it. That's not really witness consciousness. It's my, and again, it's wonderful. We should need to do positive affirmation, but that's what you're doing. Witness conscious is watching the mind say something and not having to say a positive affirmation afterwards to make yourself feel better. You're willing to sit there in the discomfort, watching it unfold, watching the process. And as that starts to work through there, it gets more painful and more painful. And you just keep watching as long as you can. And then all of a sudden, when you realize you're lost again, right? Like, then all of a sudden you're quickly out of it and you're back to it, watching the process. But that's where you'll gain all of your insight and growth that's there. So you're doing it, but just, there is no easy button. There's not supposed to be. Every animal, by the way, every amphibian, every insect, every vertebrate, I don't know, what else am I missing, right? Every single thing that's, every plant that's out there, by the way, faces adversity. Faces major, major adversity. Everything does. By the way, go watch the Discovery Channel and then go watch like Planet Earth. There's nothing out there that faces the level of adversity that we're facing, by the way. I mean, like a lot of these lizards are like born and the minute they come out of their egg, they have 6 seconds to not be eaten by a snake, right? Like, I mean, it's like they either make it to the water or they're dead, right? Like, I mean, it's how fast are you? You're going to really wipe this out real quickly here. Like, can you make it to the water's edge or not, right? Or you die. Like there's birds that last 60, 70 years, but like the minute they're hatched, they have to be able to survive living on an island. You ever seen those birds, what they're called, like for like 6 months by themselves before they can fly. And it's like 70% of them don't make it. So as a human species, you've now evolved to the point where there's adversity, but it's a different level of adversity because we've worked through that phase. We're now pushing consciousness to a different level of adversity. And it's all generated this way. So you're doing all of the work. That's it. So you're supposed to face it. It's not supposed to be easy. We want it to be, but at what cost? Just remember that. If it's easy, there's a cost. There is. And so lean into the discomfort, lean into the challenges, and just watch the process as much as possible. All right. I'm here if anybody needs me. We'll see you later.